Let's quickly go back to the Lord in prayer as we have a prayer of illumination over our word and our message this morning. Let's bow our heads. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning and we ask that you be with us as this family of faith shares in worship this morning. We ask that you be present in our lives and in our spirits and our souls as we read your word and hear the words prepared in this message. Lord, again, we are always thankful for this family of faith and the friends that gather here this morning. Let us now come to you in worship. Let us now come to you in word and message that we find your glory, your grace, and your mercy upon us this morning as we acknowledge your power and your covenants over us. All these things we ask in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, our scripture lesson comes from Luke 3, 1 through 6. My disclaimer this morning is if I butcher one of these names, I do apologize in this passage, but it does come from Luke 3, which is John the Baptist who is trying to prepare the way. I am in the New Living Translation, so it's going to be a little different than what you may have in your pews or you personally have brought with you. So if the words are different, don't worry about it. We will certainly, the translations are just slightly different. Let's go to the Lord now and see what he has to say. It was now the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, the Roman emperor. Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea. Herod Antipas was ruler over Galilee. His brother Philip was ruler over Lataria. And Trachonitis and Lysanias was ruler over Abilene. Annas and Caiaphas were the high priest. At this time, a message from God came to John, son of Zechariah, who was living in the wilderness. Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. Isaiah had spoken of John when he said these words, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. The valleys will be filled, and the mountains and hills made level. The curves will be straightened, and the rough places made smooth. And then all people will see the salvation sent from God.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, I welcome you to Bethel Presbyterian Church and bid you a good morning. This morning, you are in chapter 3 in your new book of You and God that we talked about earlier in January. It is a beautiful day, and for those who enjoy the outdoors, I encourage you to worship this morning, spend some time in fellowship after service this morning, and make no haste to get outside. It will be gorgeous. The week appears to be, so as the weatherman tells us, another beautiful week. However, prepare yourself in the valley, in the Shenandoah Valley, and also in as we celebrate or begin to celebrate the Maple Festival, prepare yourself for snow and ice this weekend. So enjoy what is before you today. After reading today's sermon title, you may wonder where I'm going with this message. My goal is to get you there, so really all I can tell you is to simply jump in, buckle up, and let's take a ride and see where we end up. As residents of Augusta County, for the most of us, we are familiar with interstates, highways, back roads, and pig paths, as we like to call them when I was younger. In our lifetime here in rural Virginia, we know the difference between old roads and new roads. Bad roads and good roads. All we have to do is take a quick ride on any one of them and simply tell the condition of the road simply by the ride we received. We can also tell the severity of the damage that the road may have simply based on our ride that we receive. Through the windshield, we can see how straight the roads are. Do they have blind spots? How steep the terrain is? If the curves are banked or perhaps flat? Many observations about the condition of a highway or a by, byway, a path, or a road simply can be made by experiencing it firsthand. I will be 51 my birthday, and many roads throughout this community have changed. As I discussed with our children this morning, many of them were under construction when I was a teenager, and they have not yet finished those. It's always they are working on some road in some way, shape, or form. Looking back in our history, we had very few roads in Augusta County when we began. In the beginning, they were just paths for horses and later horse-drawn wagons that made their way through and beyond our borders as a county. However, as the paths become the way, and they were the chosen way of the people, they were later carved into modern roads and highways. Gradually, over time, our roads were made better, eventually becoming two-lane gravel roads and then certainly paved roads. New major interstates were built, making travel faster, and yes, some to a degree, you may disagree with this statement, but to a degree, they are safer. Over the decades, with better engineering roads, we have certainly become a society that expects a smoother form of travel. The new roads are more level and they are straighter, and it makes travel certainly easier on us, especially as we try to find our final destinations. And sometimes in our old highways and byways, that accomplishment could not happen in simply a day. But today, we can go for miles and be there within the hour. Almost every day, somewhere in our daily commute, we see some type of road construction. We see some type of disturbance. Most of the time, given the particular location or area that we're in, the construction may be truly up close and very personable. As you know, we live in a county that hosts two primary interstates, so we certainly know what road construction looks like, and certainly we know what it feels like. We know the delays that it brings us on a daily basis. We unfortunately have seen the process over and over. Our entire life we have seen some change of some format or another. Most roads are ripped up, widened, leveled, smoothed out, and routed. And on many occasions, even in our rural community, they make a new road where there was never a road before. It takes a lot of time and repeated effort going over these roads again and again, much like my childhood memory, until the road is right. Well, I'm not for sure about my story to the children, but I would think after 40-some years they would have 340 right, but they obviously don't believe they've got it. Most of the time is spent preparing that foundation to that road. The actual road that we travel on, the final surface, is the quickest and last phase of the highway construction, and that's the part that we actually experience. We all know this level of construction is never quick and certainly never seems to end. The part we experience and actually see often takes about 6 months to complete once the road is built. And that doesn't include the behind-the-scenes planning and preparation. The investment of time and resources to complete these roads are immense, absolutely immense. This brings me to my point this morning in Scripture. In this morning's Scripture, Luke shares with us that Isaiah prophesied a similar process on another road. Luke uses thoroughfares as an analogy. He says, paths will be made straight, valleys will be made or be filled in, mountains and hills will be made level, rough places made smooth. Luke is saying that on these new and improved roads, travel will be easier as we travel to our end destination. The road that is described here is the one we are traveling in on and around to meet our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, there is no denying that mountains, valleys, crooked paths, and tricky culverts exist both in our world and also in our lives. Internally, God even declares that the road that we must take to reach Jesus can be a difficult path, a difficult one to travel. Along our way, we shall encounter mountains, It's going to happen, you see, because mountains are made of those things that are thrown at us as a result of the sin that surrounds us in our life. However, God calls us to work daily at leveling these mountains. And when the mountain cannot be leveled, He calls us to take up the role of a guide who knows the mountain way. He calls us to be a person who can, by their very nature, overcome and work their way through that mountain or obstacle. You see, it's our job to not only help ourselves to climb those mountains and overcome them, but it's our job to help our friends and our neighbors, and yes, those that we don't even know, to cross safely over that mountain to the other side. Also, as we travel, we will encounter those valleys in life where we will come upon people who are depressed, lonely, engulfed in grief, imprisoned both physically and emotionally, or simply in need. All of which needs our immediate attention. It's our duty to raise them up through our prayers, through our fellowship, and through our companionship. It's natural that people find themselves in the valley at first. It's natural that we find ourselves in the valleys at the first. You see, it looked easier. It was an easier path, so we thought. But unfortunately, it wasn't. God calls us to fill those valleys so the road is level. Given all the mountains and the low places in life that we pass through as Christians, it's easy to see why Isaiah describes these ways to be crooked. It can be tempting to try to travel around these obstacles in the road of life. So tempting that we do it all the time. We do it. We come around those obstacles. We try to traverse that mountain. We try to bridge over or go through that valley as quickly as we can, because all we're worried about is how soon we can get to our end destination. On the weekend before the Highland Maple Festival, I thought this would be a good example to our scripture message this morning. If you're familiar with the road to McDowell, Virginia, you will understand what I'm about ready to say. If you're not, just hang on for the ride. Through the mountains for many years, the trip through the wilderness into Headwaters and then McDowell and then Monterey was crooked, to say the least. It took forever to get to the Maple Festival as a child, to the point where when everybody said, "Hey, let's go to the Maple Festival," everybody said, "Nah, ain't got time." It just wasn't worth the trip. But actually it is. It is a beautiful setting in the valleys of the mountains in Highland County, and it is always worth the trip. But just like Scripture declares, engineers and road crews work diligently to straighten turns and roads west of Headwaters going into McDowell, Virginia. This morning I declare to you that God calls us to work to straighten the winding paths to God, just like they did to the road to McDowell. This work is hard as we prepare the way to Jesus Christ. As we discussed in this week's Bible study, the road we are called to prepare is not always through some pleasant place or civilized organization. Isaiah says that the path is straight through the wilderness, and he doesn't mean the tame wilderness that looks pretty and is without cobblestones and obstacles, or that is truly safe. It's the same wilderness we talked about last week where our Savior was tempted three times by the devil. This is the wilderness that we know can be dangerous. In fact, it is dangerous. However, digging deeper this morning, I believe the wilderness where we are called to build the road is not the physical road that you have running around in your mind during this message. The road that I speak of, or the wilderness, is in our hearts, defined as our lives this morning. The wilderness of our own self-centeredness, the wilderness of our attraction to other things that society says that are more important, instead of being attracted to God who has come to save us. This is the wilderness where God wants us to forge a straight road. This is the wilderness where God wants us to forge a level road, build a level road, a road between our hearts and God. Friends, it's here in this wilderness of our hearts where we truly meet our Lord and Savior. As we seek to straighten the road between our hearts and God, we will have to face some unwanted and unwelcome challenges and also changes. You see, in today's modern society, change is a bad word. You change one thing and people become angry. But unfortunately, in order for us to change who we are in our hearts and share that joy and love and Christian attitude with others, sometimes we have to make those personal changes. And they come with personal challenges. The plans for God's new road may not match the road that exists in your heart now. As I told the children, in lots of cases, there's not even a road at all in your heart. If truth be told, many of us kick this road construction God calls us to do down the road more and more, over and over in our lifetime. Many times it looks easier to simply just not start. In our academy graduation this week, held at Weir's Cave, Virginia, for our basic jailer school, First Sergeant Carter told the graduating class in his keynote speech, "Always be on time," he said. "Most days, the hardest part of our job is to simply show up." Well, friends, you have a job. You have a job as highway engineers, working for your Lord and Savior. As such, it's our duty to start, and it certainly is our duty to show up. Friends, make no mistake, today is the best day you will get. There is no better time or place to face God. Today is the day we need to start and be on time. If we are to come face to face with God who loves and blesses us daily, we must do it now, in the middle of the chaos we know to be our surroundings and perhaps our lives. This good news is we can do it. And here's how you can do it. The great news is that we don't have to do this all by ourselves. God Himself helps us to work on this road. Jesus is already with us, giving us all the needs that we need to complete the work. Jesus makes our mountains of sin just small hills that we literally can step over. Jesus makes the unjustly rough places level and smooth in our life. Jesus bridges the valleys that are too deep. And Jesus Christ has leveled the construction site for every single person, not only in this house of worship, but in this community, in this state, in this nation, and in this world. All you simply have to do is accept it. No matter how rugged the wilderness or how our hearts look, perhaps, how hard-hearted we may be, God wants to build a road there. Isn't that amazing? Regardless of who you are or how rough you think you are or how hard your heart is, God wants to build a road in your heart. No matter how difficult the terrain is or how much special engineering it may take to make this road necessary, God intends to build a highway there in your heart. Even if we think the road looks fine, as I told the children, God plans to make it better. God's roads are always an improvement from the previous one. God plans to make our roads safer. God plans to make our roads faster. And yes, He plans to make them a much more enjoyable trip. Together, we are engineers of God's highways. Jesus Christ is our foreman, and no matter how impossible the task, together we can build it, because all things are possible with God. Friends, our God has immense experience in these kinds of highway construction projects. God is used to breaking ground, leveling hills, parting obstacles, and forging rivers. Let me give you some examples from Scripture. God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites to cross out of slavery into Egypt, to be freedom of a new life. God parted the River Jordan when Joshua and the Israelites crossed over into the Promised Land. God believed that God loved the world so much that He leveled the playing field for all when He sent His Son Jesus Christ to save us. God made a way when the world was flooded, calling a man of great faith to build and sail on an ark. And finally, God broke through and constructed a new path. A new path for me and you through sin and death, simply through the example of an empty tomb in Jerusalem found on Easter morning. And today, here in Bethel, in our 277th year, God has brought this place we lovingly call home into a new day and a new era. Today, as we look out into tomorrow, God intends to show us His vision on His design easel for Bethel Presbyterian Church. Behind us lay many miles of cherished history, and in front of us lay an unforgettable and unknown territory. The new ground is not without hills or valleys, streams and rivers. And somewhere, I promise you, in this new territory, lay a gorge or two that we will bridge over. And together, we will do just that. But today, we are covenant partners. I know that's a new term for you, but get used to it. It's who you are. Skilled as highway engineers in a new denomination, that's who you are today. Today we step out on new footing. We step out in hope, love, obedience, friendship, and faithful fortitude. Things that have built our roads in the past will be the same assets that we use to build our new roads in the future. To use a football analogy here this morning, it's game day. Today we begin to engineer and build a road for tomorrow that will be forever marked in history. Today you make history in the history of Bethel, or the history of this community, in the history of God's ministry. Like those who come before us, from the North Mountain Meeting House to the old wooden church, now to this beautiful historical place we set in today, let us forge ahead in faith, friendship, love, and grace. For those are the assets and the attributes that have made us who we are today. This morning you sat here in this chapel, built and forged by your loved ones, men and women who raised you and brought you up in faith. This chapel is the highway to heaven. Make no mistake. It is where God expects you to share in your skill set. Your skill is your faith. Your skill is your love and your compassion. Friends, you are God's highway engineers, and it is time for you to show up and go to work. Some 2,000 years ago, I remind you, a man came to us. God sent him as our foreman. He sent him as our designer. He sent him as our chain breaker. He sent him as our way maker. He sent him to us to be our Savior. Now it's time for you to show up for God, to forge ahead, making a way for all to see, because you are Bethel, and you are God's highway engineers in the hearts and souls and the spirit of this congregation. This ministry needs to be seen, and it needs to be heard, and the only way that's going to happen is for its engineers to show up and to start designing a new road for tomorrow. Start bringing the tools and to start breaking ground. Today you set in the foundation of this new highway. Miles do lay behind us, but many more miles lay ahead of us. It's our job. It's your job to lay the foundation for tomorrow's road. And I'll close with this statement. I opened and told you that you are now in the first day of chapter 3 of the book, You and God. But today you're charged with growing this ministry in a new denomination, being the Bethel you've always been but being the Bethel you can always be. So here's your charge. Don't let chapter 4 arrive before you pick up your tools and you bring your best and you show up to work and you're on time for what holds in this ministry for tomorrow. Don't let chapter 4 arrive in your book this year before you begin the construction of Bethel's future tomorrow. You are the highway engineers. It is our job to bridge our hearts together, not just independently, but for the people who we love in this family of faith, but more importantly, for even the people we do not know. It's time to go to work. Welcome home. Welcome to Bethel, a new denominational church set in the valleys of Augusta County, where we know what mountains and valleys look like, but yet we have the power and the faith and the glory of Christ behind us. Amen.